I don't know if I were to tell you what my favorite part of a service is. I don't really know. When I was a little boy, my favorite was when the pastor would start zipping his Bible, because that meant we were about to dismiss. I've changed since then. I don't know if it's the worship. I don't know. It's just, I love so much of it. But one of the things that I'll never get tired of is just seeing participation. People involving themselves in that process. Amen. It's such an awesome thing. It is great to be back, but it was so wonderful to be away last weekend. Unfortunately, a wedding where Elizabeth is not going to live here, but there. Tried, but you know, what are you going to do? So I told her parents, I said, you all have to come here to our church. You have to come to our church, because she's not here, so you got to come here. And her parents and her brother are here today, and so there we go. I appreciate that. And the wedding was just beautiful. It really was, in a town that's not a lot there. The church is one of the largest buildings there. Beautiful, beautiful church. Enjoyed being there. And everything worked out just so well. It did. And to be that far away, it just so happened. A friend of mine pastors the church that they could use, and it all worked out perfectly. Except she's going to live there. And we'll work on that. Maybe something can happen. But her husband is very much right there. They've got a great church they're going to. But glad to be back here. I can't say enough about the participation of worship in this church. The importance of it, the effects of it, amen. It's just so many things stem from that. For our guests that are here, God bless you. We're so thankful to have all of our guests here. And for our mothers, this is your day. And happy Mother's Day today and many days to follow, amen. Because truly, mothers are special. They are it. And Father's Day, it's great. Dads are good. But we know mothers, they carry the weight. They're the ones that make the decisions, really. You know, they do it through the husband, but then, or they can do it by themselves, but really it's the mother. We know it. Let's not argue about it. They can silently make a decision, silently cause things to change in the home, just because we know how to read their silent expressions. And husbands, if you're here and you hadn't been married long, and you're going, I don't know what you're talking about, you need to get with me. I need to teach you some things. I need to learn you about that. No. Amen. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we'll read these five verses and be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And sometimes I preach a Mother's Day sermon. Some days it's Mother's Day, and I just preach a sermon. Today it's going to have a story in it about a mother. And so it's kind of a hybrid. And I did that. I wasn't seeking for that, but it just so happened it's going to fit. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith must stand in the power of God. That's why churches with superstar pastors aren't going to create strong followers, because they're using the pastor as their example. And he's the one that draws. I pray that God is always the draw. Amen. I pray his Spirit's always the draw here, because that's going to make all the difference in the world. I want to talk about faith in his power. Father, I'm asking your help and your blessings on this today. Anoint our ears. Anoint your word, God, and each and every one. Bless us in the way needed. In Jesus' name we ask. You may be seated. Faith in his power. The Apostle Paul was wise enough to simply point them to Jesus and his saving power, instead of saying, I would love to impress you with my own wisdom. He pointed them to the saving power of God. The problem with man's wisdom is a limited wisdom. We don't know everything. And all the mothers say, amen. Weak, weak, weak. What I was saying there is the husband's wisdom is not all that. What the Bible is saying is mankind's wisdom. Men and women, boys and girls, it's not everything. But the problem with our wisdom is it is very limited. God's power is not limited. So I need to lean in that direction of his power. So Paul is telling them this up front about his own limitations. He goes, I don't have all the answers. I'm not everything. I try to do my best. He says, but ultimately, your faith must be in the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of men. It must be in the power that is of God, because it makes all the difference in the world. And so today I want to tell you that what makes it in the church and what's going to help us make it is not man's wisdom, but it will be God's power. And we need to depend on God's power and not think it's just when we're singing and we feel his presence. That's not just God's power. Most of us, we're just enjoying that. It might give you faith to go further. It might give you hope for your next week or days. But one thing about the true power of God, it makes differences occur in your life. He takes things that are not as though they were. He speaks to things and causes them to evolve and causes you to be an overcomer by his power. It's an awesome thing when you understand it. And I can, and you know this, folks that are members here, I could go on for hours just about in my little life about the many things I've watched God do. Things that could not be man at all, that God came through, proved himself over and over again. It is, as that old song says, it's a good life living for the Lord. I want to read in 2 Kings verse chapter 4, verse 8 through 17. And this is about Elisha. He was the protege of Elijah. Elijah did great works, and Elisha, whenever he was standing at the Jordan River, and his master was about to be taken up to heaven, he said, you know, what do you ask? And I'll give it to God, will give it to you. He goes, but you got to be watching me when I go. He goes, I want a double portion of what you have. And he said, you've got to keep your eyes on me and you will get that. And when Elijah was taken up, his mantle fell. And Elisha wrapped up that mantle and he struck the waters the same way Elijah had done of the Jordan River and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he struck the waters, the river parted and he went back across the way he had come by the same miracle. That was the first miracle that was performed in his life. And following the miracles, seven miracles Elijah performed that were great and mighty, but Elisha, 14. And the 14th was after he was dead and the body of a soldier was thrown on his grave, on his bones, and that soldier was raised back to life and ran out of the tomb. So somebody, if they were keeping count, they said, well, Elisha was so close. But with God, you don't ever need to give up. Never give up, because there's always time the way God does things. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come into her home for a meal, and after that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the top of the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. So one day, Elisha turned into Shunem, and he went up to the upper room to rest. And he said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? And can we put a good word into you for the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied. My family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. You can guess what he's saying. Let's pray that God could provide a son for her. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year, about this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. And her expression was not denying him that. But it was unbelief. She said, no, my Lord. She cried, oh, men of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. I'm reading this in the New Living because of that statement right there. The King James, a little more cut and dried. Don't say such a thing, something like that. But here she's saying, don't get my hopes up like that. So we realize that what he was offering her was the very thing that she wanted more than anything in her life, was to hold a son in her arms. And so he knew by God's direction that that's the thing that we can do, that nothing else can do for her. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. At that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. This story is about a woman who desired to honor the man of God. It all started with that right there. And if you ever want to be blessed, get a hold of the things that God is involved in. Get a hold of a ministry and pour yourself into something that is connected with God, and there will always be blessings for you that. Amen. She had the means to make this preacher's life better by building a room on the side of her home, something very common that people would do to expand their houses. And this woman that called her, in the King James, it called her a great woman, meaning she was a woman of wealth. Her husband may not have even been that wealthy, but she was the one that probably was the heir to the fortune. And so it cost her something, and it changed the look of her home to be able to do this. But anyone passing by could tell that she changed some things. You've got a home that looks different than it did, and there's a minister, it seems, to be going in there with his assistant from time to time, and they stop by for meals. But we've noticed he's got his donkey parked outside now, and so there's activity going on. And when you got activity in the spirit realm going on in your life, there is going to be a blessing that will always follow that. When we engage ourselves in the work of God, there's going to be a blessing in your life when we do those things. Amen. Just a simple fact, but it's true. But it cost her something. And we don't always like to do things that demand of us or cost something. But when it's for God, He will pay you back over and above what you ever thought you could pay. Amen. Elisha sends Gehazi down to ask, what can we do to show you appreciation? Because Elisha was realizing, this is really awesome. We stopped by before. We would have to come through town and go all the way back to Shiloh or to Samaria, wherever we were sleeping. And it was we would get there at night. It was dangerous. And now we can come in here, stop, and we can go out to the other little towns around. And it's so convenient. She has truly been a blessing to us. So you need to go ask the lady what we can do for her. And here she is, a lady wealthy enough to build a room onto her house without borrowing anything from the bank. And it's just something she was able to do because she was wealthy and she had some power. She built the room just to honor the prophet. But what she did is open the door of a blessings in her home. She didn't realize that God was not going to be through with her. He knew. God knew. Woman, you have a need. You want a son. And I'm going to put a desire in your heart, not just for the son, you've already got that desire, but a desire to do something for the man of God, and that's going to lead you to your hope and your promise. And so I believe truly that God puts those things in our heart. He knows what we need to feel and what direction we need to feel. God is great that way. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, this, let that sink in a minute. That word needs to marinate. Yeah. The manifestation, when something manifests, it means it shows itself. Yeah. It reveals what it is. And so the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And this is New Testament. The manifestation of the Spirit dwelling within us, that Spirit that we receive when God pours it into us with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that Spirit that we receive is not just going to be dormant in your life. It is not going to just let you sit back and just be a bench warmer. It's not going to let you just be a part of the church but never be involved in the work of God. You all know this. It's going to draw you into areas of your life where you need to plug God into some vacancies and let Him do a work in your life. Amen? Yeah. Thanks be to God that He gives us desires, and those desires are things we can't get on our own. But when we go to God in prayer, He gives us the desires of our heart. We learn to ask Him. We learn to talk about it. We learn to walk in faith. And God blesses us. Today, God understands that these young ladies, when they get married and they want to have children, if the husband's like, well, you know, I'm not all about that, hopefully she found that out before. That's a good discussion to have before somebody gets married. How many kids do you want to have? The woman starts usually with 12, and the husband's doing more like one, and then they just negotiate, you know, and they end up with 2 or 4. My family was 4, and then, oops. We had 5. That's why, you know, that's how it was said. And my mom and dad were so glad that they had my younger brother. Because I'll tell you what, a house clears out in a hurry when kids get 17, 18. Did back in them old days. And they were glad to have my little brother there. But God blessed our home. and blessed our family. And I'll tell you, the more kids you have, the more blessings of God there's going to be. Now, I'm not preaching that you need to go have a lot of kids, but actually I'm not preaching not that either, because they make a church grow. It brings helpers into the church. It brings little ministers into the church, people we can depend on. And these pretty girls, they grow up. Some stay, some don't. But the same way with the guys, some stay, some don't. I don't ever begrudge somebody marrying away as long as we have some that don't. You know, let's have a lottery system if you need to. You know, let's draw a straw or something. Let's find out that we're going to keep some of these. A growing church, though, is going to grow in and it's going to grow out. It truly is. And so, but the manifestation, man, I got off track on that. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Here's what it simply means. When the power of God in your life is evident, and if it's not evident, then you need to stir up the gift, as Paul said to Timothy, stir the gift up that's within you. You need to water it. You need to pray. You need the Word of God. You need to be faithful to church. We got to stir up the gift that is within us. And when you stir up the gift, it manifests itself in ways that's beyond your ability to do it. It is only God that can do those kind of things. When you walk with God and you have a desire in your heart and you ask God to supply the need, watch out. He's going to supply the need. He loves to show out in your life. He wants to give you a testimony. He wants to give you something to shout about. He wants you to be an overcomer. God is never going to be content to bless you and let you just go back and sit down and say, I'm just so glad for that blessing. No, no, no. He likes blessings that are evident. He likes you to say, look, we prayed and look what the Lord did. We went to before God and look how He saw us through. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost, it is going to show out in everybody's life. It will cause you to profit with all. Everything you do is going to have the marks of an indwelling God all in your life, in your job, in your home, in your relationship, in your finances, in your health. You're going to have God everywhere in your world because it's the manifestation of the Spirit working within you. So, mama, go ahead and pray that prayer. Go ahead and tell God what you need. Get your house to the point where you're looking for another blessing to come along. Look for the man of God. Look for the Word of God. Look for the promises of God in your life. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the lesson, Jesus teaches about the landowner giving his servants money. Before he went away, he gives five talents, 1 4, 1 1. The two top guys, they doubled their talent. They doubled the amount of money he gave them. But that one guy, that one, he just had one. But see, what he gave them the amount according to what they could do. They're several. The King James says, by your several ability, by your various abilities. The guy that got five, he was a great investor, and his master knew it. And he came back with 10 a year later. The one that he gave two, he just had to double it, just like the one with five. But he could handle two. He came back with four. But that third one, this story is told a couple of different ways, a couple of different times in Scripture. But there's this one where he said, I took that talent you gave me, and I buried it. And behold, look, I have it wrapped in a napkin. Oh, I've got it all wrapped up. It's just the way you gave it to me. I didn't lose it. I know people that lost theirs. I didn't lose mine. I'm not as bad as them. I have double what they have because I have one. He said, you're a wicked and unprofitable servant. I want you to take it and give to the guy with 10. He now has 11. You have 0 because you didn't invest what I gave you. You didn't invest. God, I pray, give us the ability to seize things that we need in our life. God doesn't expect His kids to go hungry in any manner. I don't mean just natural food. What you need in your life spiritually, He wants you to pray to get it. I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to anybody try to tell me, well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and God hadn't done anything. No, no, no. When you pray according to the will of God, there's something that happens when you pray for something. There's something that occurs. This woman, she just said, I want to help the man of God. I want to do something. Why? She's not raising kids. She's not worried about school clothes and school supplies. She just said, I've got to do something. And she went in the direction where God was. God was drawing her into that direction because that prophet is the one that has the ability. He's the one that's going to be able to connect her to the glory and to the power of God. And so as she begins to see and examine her life and think, wait a minute, I think I want to help the man of God. What God was saying is, you're going to help your home by doing what you're saying you're doing right now. There's going to be a blessing come your way. I'm thankful to tell you something right now. When God puts a burden in your heart, it might be pointed out the west window, but what God may be doing is bringing a blessing from the east side. In other words, you may not see where God's coming from. He works mysteriously. But when we find somewhere that we can put God in our world, it might be a situation where you've gone through a problem, a trial, and you need a bill paid or you need a gap filled. Go ahead and pray for God to do that, because He's working for something else in your life. He's going to give you a benefit that you don't see right now, because I'm going to tell you, like that song we sing, He's working, He's working. He never stops working. He never stops working. He's going to keep doing these things for you. He's going to keep blessing you. He's going to keep going in your stead and doing what you need Him to do. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's going to bless you today. Yeah. I'm thankful today for what God has given us. I'm thankful for the opportunities that God has given us, because He is a great God. The Bible tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. God moved on them, and they spoke words, and they unlocked doors. Speaking and operating in the Spirit moved on them. New Testament, whosoever will come and drink from the waters of life freely. That's the difference. Whosoever can come. The New Testament is not just particular people. It's not just a few here and there. New Testament is, here we are. Here we are. Everybody can demand from God. Everyone can pray a prayer and God can help them. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that I have committed to Him until that day. I am not ashamed of this gospel, because I know something. My God is not going to leave you empty-handed. He's going to bless you with whatever it is that you need Him to bless you with until that day. The day when He says, how am I going to divvy up the rewards of all my people? You're going to have a trophy. God's going to see to it. He loves to give good gifts to His children. Amen. Amen. The power of God is not just what we feel here when we worship. And I love what we feel. The power of God doesn't stop when you receive the Holy Ghost. It's not just in the name of Jesus in baptism. The power of God is a working mechanism in your life. God opens doors. God brings opportunities to you. He helps you solve problems. He helps you get through valleys and over mountains. The power of God is always going to be manifesting itself in your life. It's always going to be showing out that God loves you through everything and can do many great things for you. That is the power of God. That is the power of God. Amen. He can keep what we commit to Him. He can't keep what we throw away. He can't keep something we don't go to Him about. If you don't go to God about an issue, He can't do anything with it, because it's operation of faith. Yeah. He says, I need you to ask. You ask and you shall receive. If we ask, we will receive. Amen. Oh God, I need you, God, today to bless us. Yeah. Let us ask. Lord, let us receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. He's able to keep what we've committed to Him against that day. He can't keep what we throw away. Those who invest don't have to broadcast their frustrations. Right. When you invest, you need to know there's going to be a day of reaping. God's going to bless you. It's hard to pray a prayer and leave it there and walk away and see nothing and believe that God's still working. But He works in silence. He works sometimes in an invisible realm that you'll never understand or ever see. And in closing, the room she built brought her a miracle that died. Her miracle died. Had a time limit. Sadly, the boy was probably about 4 or 5. And the Bible said he went out with his dad with the reapers. He wasn't working. He wasn't that old. But he went out with his father to the field just to be with his dad. And he grabbed his head and he said, "My head, my head." And his dad brought him in and said, "Something about his head. He's hurting. His head's hurting." Gave him to the mother. The baby sat on her lap until evening and died. What she did next was a very, very important lesson that I always hope I can remember. She took that baby and she went upstairs and she laid it on the prophet's bed. That's where he came from. She wasn't leaving him there. She was putting him at the last place the prophet had touched. Putting him on his bed. "It's yours." She told her husband, she said, "I want you to saddle me a donkey. I've got to go see the preacher." Yeah. "What's wrong?" She goes, "Just do it." They brought her a donkey and she takes off riding. Elisha sees her coming. He tells Gehazi, you go find out what's wrong with her. There's some reason why she's coming to me this time of day. And he goes and sees her and comes back and says, "She won't tell me." She gets off and says, it's the baby. "I didn't ask you for him." She said, "I didn't ask you for a baby." Oh, no. He takes his staff. He says, "Go lay that on the boy." You know what he was hoping? That God would honor what I've touched, he touched, and maybe I don't even have to go. Elisha was a man of great faith. Great faith. He knew that he didn't have to be there. God could do this just by laying my staff on his body. And he could come back and say, "Hey, he's up and doing fine. Ate a bowl of cereal before I left." And mama could ride back and be happy. But he came back and he said, "Nope, nope, nope." She implored him. He said, all right, I'll go." He wasn't being lazy. He was being faithful. He was saying, "God doesn't need me there because God's powerful all by himself." All by himself. I want to ask you something. Have you turned loose of a dream that you had and it looked like it was right there and then you let it go? Sometimes we just need to pray that God resurrects what we were asking for. Don't let go of it too early. When Elisha got there, very strange. You know, we can depend on God. We can depend on his spirit. We depend on scripture. But what Elisha depended on was history. Yes. You know what? I depend on history. I grew up hearing stories my parents told about God's provision, providing for our family, protecting them from a tornado, protecting them from storms and other dangers. And I grew up hearing those stories. I don't remember the tornado. I was a baby. But I know it worked. It did a curve right around our house and just kept going a straight line. I knew that was God. I don't doubt it at all. I'm glad I haven't had to live through one to know that was God. But I grew up hearing about these things. And then in our life, my wife and I's life, we have seen countless times of God's provision and miracles in our life. Amen. I have a sermon that I've preached here in other places called Monuments of Our Lives. And it's an odd sermon to preach because I have to preach it in a way that I'm not saying, look at me. It's about look at God. And when I begin to go over the things that God has done in our life, things that only God could do, my life is just scattered throughout with things God did. He made himself available and made himself known. You may be, the Bible says, the night may find you weeping, but hold on. Joy. Joy. That's God. Joy, joy in the morning. So when Elisha got there, he goes upstairs and there's that lifeless body. He has history. What did Elijah do? What would Elijah do? Oh, same thing. The boy died. The widow at Zarephath, her son died. And he goes up and he just lays on that body. He laid on his body, put his face on his, and he just covered it. And it said the body began to grow warm. I've always read that like, well, you lay on a body, the body's going to get warm because a warm man's laying on a body. But that's not what it meant. I began to study in it. And what it was saying is, when he laid on the body and got up, the body itself from the inside out began to get warm like a body will that has a heartbeat, amen. And he may not have felt a pulse, but God doesn't need a heart to beat to have life, because he is life, amen, and he gives life, amen. So he just got up and walked down in the living room, and he walked around. He went back up. He laid down again on the body because it worked. Let's just push this thing through, because who wants a half miracle? Who wants a baby that may be alive, but he's not going to walk again? Let's do it again. And he went up there and laid down. And when he got up, the Bible said the boy started sneezing, and he sneezed and he sneezed. You can't sneeze when you're dead. That's a good sign. He's alive. He just got a lot of dirt up his nose. And he got up off the bed and he walked him down and said, "Hey, mama, here's your little boy again." And I tell you, he didn't say it dry like it might read in King James. He had to have a grin on his face. There had to be an excitement in his step. "Hey, mama, I've got your baby boy. He's standing right here. He's been dead for about 9 hours, but now he has life in him." You never give up on your miracle. Don't give up on your dream. There's always a time that God's going to need to work, and we got to employ ourselves in the process, because your faith needs to stand on the power of God. Lord, let my faith stand on your power, not on man's abilities, not on the means of man, but let it stand. Amen. So whenever I don't have the faith, whenever I don't have the scripture, whenever I can't find how it's going to work out, I just start looking in my past. Who do I know? Oh, wait a minute. I remember that happened before. I remember that time. I remember that miracle. It wasn't my miracle, but it was somebody's miracle. And God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't have people he likes to do things for and those that he really don't want to mess with. It's whosoever will. And if I can find anybody, I tell you, the Bible has people rising up from the dead. The Bible has people coming back from diseases. And I've seen it in my own life. Therefore, I know God will heal you. God will fill you. He will help you get over it. Amen. I thank God that he is a healer in this house right now. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Let's stand and give him praise, shall we? We serve a mighty God. We serve an on-time God. We serve a God that loves to give good gifts to his children. That's who our God is. Oh, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, holy God, we praise your name. Lord, we glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. What a mighty God, what a mighty God, what a mighty God. You need to claim your victory. You need to claim your miracle. You need to tell God what you need right now. He is here today. He is on time today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Lord, it is in your hands today to do abundantly above what we could ever ask or think of. It's in your hands, God. You're a mighty God, and you do great works. Lord, you do great works. You do great works. You really are not going to be a mama very long before you call out to God for that little baby you're holding in your arms. Every mama has cried those prayers. I've done it. My wife's done it. We've walked the floor praying for our kids. Hours just walking and praying. Sometimes something as simple as colic. Sometimes something as complicated and dangerous as a fever. What do you do? When do you call the doctor? What would you go to the emergency room? Do we say, I want to be right, but I have held my children in my arms and felt the fever break. I felt them all start sweating, and all of a sudden it's over. And they look up, and they're not even sick anymore. You've been there too. You know that God hears your prayers, but he goes far above and beyond what we could ever hope or think, because all you got to do is call on him, and he will answer your prayers. Our faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I'm not up here trying to use a lot of big words and make you think I'm all that smart at all. I'm saying, hey, understand that God has the power. He's the one, not up here. It's in your hands. It's in your life. God can do it. Amen. I think we need to gather down here right now and go before the Lord. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost, you can have it right now. If it's been a while since you've been blessed by God, you need to come down expecting. And in your mind, you know what I used to do? Draw an imaginary line. line up here on the front and just say, God, when I cross that point right there, I'm about to feel my victory. When I get to that place, you're going to touch me. Oh, and if you mark that line, if you say it within yourself, God will honor you for it. God will bless you right there. Amen. Because he loves to give good gifts to his children. God loves to show out with his power and his great love for you. He loves you today more than you ever could know. And he just wants a way to let you know it. You're dealing with loss. You're dealing with failure. You're dealing with substance abuse. You may be dealing with some addiction you can't get past. Secretly, God can work without ever embarrassing you and make you an overcomer. He can put the power within you right now if you give it to him. Amen. You've got to give it to him. You've got to give it to him. Holy God, holy God, holy God. We live in a different day. We live in a different day.